Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. You are on the Healing Hour, and I am your host, Minister Arthur Burgess III. I'm excited to be with you this evening. I have a special guest. I have a special guest with me this evening. This is my brother. I'm telling you, this is somebody who I grew up with. We got ordained together. We got licensed together. We serve in the ministry together. And truly, God has called him for a great, great work. But before I get to my guest, you know how this goes. We always do the introduction first. You are on blogtalkradio.com, and that is blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. And I want you guys to get online, listen to these videos, listen to these recordings. You can also hear the sermons later, so you don't worry about missing anything. You can go right back to Purpose Kingdom, and that is blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. Also, call in. I mean, call in. Like, I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear your prayers. I want to hear your concerns. That is 323-870-4174. That is 323-870-4174. I'm going to say it one more time because somebody didn't get it. That is 323-870-4174. Press pound one. I want to talk to y'all today because my guest is on, and I'm telling you, you will be amazed by the word that's about to come forth. Timely word, a word that is needed in this generation. But before I get to that, you know we have to open up with scripture, and that is 1 Peter 3:15. This is going to be our theme for the night. That is 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Right now, the world is in a crisis. And it's not just one crisis, it's one crisis after the other. And when people lose hope, we can't speak to their emotions. We have to speak to what? We have to give them an answer for every man. What? That is in the reason why we do this. It is for the hope of them. We can't speak to their emotions. We have to speak to their hope. We have to give them hope. We can't be down like them. We have to understand. We have to empathize. We have to reflect. And we have to build. And then we have to give them hope. But if we down with them, how can they get hope? We have to listen. We have to comfort, confide, and then give hope. That's the great purpose that we have to serve. When people get down, we become an answer of hope. And not just with our mouths, with our giving, with our hard work, everything, with our tools, with our hands. We got to get dirty. We can't just preach hope. We have to be hope. Feed the poor. We have to clothe the naked. We have to be there for the widow. We have to be there for the lost child. We have to be there for the lost saint. It is our job to be hope, to give an answer for hope. Also, just want to throw this out there. If you are looking for food, you know that Verity Outreach Worship Center under the Pastor John Clark Sr., we do our food giveaway on Sundays. Normally, we have our locations posted on our social media. That is Verity Outreach on Facebook and Verity Outreach on Instagram. We always post the time and the location for our food drop-off. We are not just giving away, you know, anything. It is real fresh produce, real fresh meats, eggs, you know, milk, chicken, vegetables. We're giving it away. There's no registration. There's no, you know, sign up or anything. No, just get online and get the food. We're not worried about anything. So please, you know, every Sunday we do our food pantry giveaway. And every Monday and Wednesday, we partner with Jesus in the Building. That is under Pastor Michael Brown. And that is Verity and Jesus in the Building Church. We partner every Monday and Wednesday, and we give out breakfast and lunch in the Northeast area. That is 200 West Fisher Street, 200 West Fisher Street, and we give out lunch and breakfast. We know right now kids should be in school, and they and parents are struggling trying to figure out how to feed kids during this time, especially when they were only providing one meal a day at home, but now they have to do three. So to help everybody out, we are providing lunches and breakfast, and there is no limit. Just come and get it, all right? We're not telling people, two people, you know, two lunches or two breakfasts per parent. No, we just come and get it. We have enough to feed everybody, all right? God bless you. Now, I have to move on to my guest, and I introduce to you a prophet of this generation, a man of God who stands tall, who stands on the gospel, who speaks the word of God, who listens to God, who hears God, who is not afraid to do the hard work, and is a servant of the gospel. I introduce to you Minister Brian Despot. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you tonight?
I'm good. When I told you I was going to break you in, I was going to break you in.
Yeah, that was deep, Doc. That was deep. I better deliver after all this beautiful accolades. I did not come with no preschool ABC word now.
No, not over here. But
I
no,
can't talk about in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth.
No, sir. Ain't nobody try here. When you start talking about a prophet of this stuff, listen, y'all. This is somebody who I grew up with. He's like a little brother to me, you know. And sometimes, you know, big brother. You know, I've admired his walk with God. You know, we grew up together, and everything we've done wasn't always right, and we weren't always so called, you know, in the right place at the right time, but God kept us and we stayed on course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've seen his walk with God. I've seen him, you know, get deliverance, and I've seen him repent and change his heart and really seek God in everything that he do. And the brother can sing his face off. So, you know, we were licensed together. We were ordained together. We serve in the ministry currently together. And let me tell you, bro, it's been a pleasure. It's been a privilege and an honor to serve right next to you. You know what I mean? You know, we hand in hand, man. I don't even think there's not a step I ain't take that we ain't take together. And
right.
There was some things that you told me. I was like, nah, Doc, I ain't doing that. You know, there was some things that, you know, you spoke into my life and was like, shh, you know, this your next step. And I was like, nah, I probably ain't doing that.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, you know, it's happening. You said it, and it's happening.
Yeah.
And I thank God for you. So, sir, you know, I ask everybody on this show one simple question. And I just let it go from there. You know, with everything that God has brought you through, you know, can you tell the people what's your testimony? What has God brought you through?
Wow, that's a hard question. I don't know where to start. But the first thing I can say that the first thing that God put me out of. I remember it was a point in time in my life where I was, you know, I'll be kind of trying to find ourselves. We think we know who we are, but we really don't know who we are. We try to operate in who we think we should be, but that's really not who we're supposed to be or who God created us to be. So to go all the way back, I grew up in the church. I got saved in my grandmom's bedroom at the age of 3 years old. I've been in the church, been a part of the church, praise and worship teams, was preaching at a young age, like 9, 10 years old, preaching. But at the same time, as I grew up, there was still that yearning for wanting to know what the world had for me. Mm. And that's, I think that's what happens to a lot of young people who grow up in church. They see what church is, they know who God is, but it's still that want to know what the world is like. Like I can liken it unto like the prodigal son. Uh-huh. You know, he was in his father's house, he had whatever he wanted, whatever he needed. But it was something in him that still wanted to go out on his own and figure out what life was on his own. And we all know the story of that. You know, he went out there and he failed miserably.
Right.
But while I was out there, you know, I hooked up with some people I wasn't supposed to be hooked up with. Did some things, trying to hang with different people that I wasn't supposed to be a part of, you know. And all I could do is I thank God that I was delivered from it. And because the things I was doing, yeah, I sold drugs. I wasn't like this big-time drug dealer. But I sold drugs, and it was just like, you know what, this just ain't for me. So I got out of that. No, I'm good. That's not for me. Tried the thug life. Tried the guns blazing, you know, the enforcer life. No, you know what, that just ain't for me. It ain't for me. because it was like at the end of the day, I realized, you know what, I know God got more for me than just this. I refuse to sit here and lose my life and not really fulfill the purpose that God has for me because I want to fit in with everybody else.
Right.
And I think I've met so many people that I've went to church with, so many people that had the same testimony as me. As being a church kid, we try to fit in with the wrong crowd. And then it's like, yo, like, this really ain't for me. So we wound up getting out of there. But time went on, you know, went to college, didn't really do too well. But it was when I came home from college when a lot of my troubles started happening. You know, I started smoking real heavy in college. I did some other drugs, whatever like that. But I thank God that even though I did them, he never allowed me to get hooked on them.
Right.
It's so many people who have done the cocaine, who have taken the ecstasy, taken the pills, taken different things, done different things, and they wind up getting hooked on it to a point where they can't live without it. And I just thank God and I bless God that that was never my story. You know, I did it, tried it, did it a couple of times, and it was like, you know what, no, this ain't for me. Whenever I try to do things that the world projects as being, you know what, this is the route to go, no, this just ain't for me.
Right.
So, you know, time went on, you know, I found myself, you know, I was smoking, if I couldn't get a black and mild, I would smoke cigarettes. I was smoking for a long time. And I honestly never thought I would find a day where I would stop. But you know. So, and it seems like, you know, I was telling one of the young brothers at the church, me and him was talking, and I told him that smoking was my coping mechanism for when I got triggered to become frustrated or angry or something like that. That was my coping mechanism. Things that I did when I got angry or upset became a coping mechanism for me. So what I told him was the thing that I'm glad that I found was that the trigger still triggered me, but what happened was the coping mechanism became different.
Things still
triggered me to want to do those things, but it was like, you know what? I got to do something different. I can't deal with my problems. I can't deal with my situations. I can't deal with my frustrations. I can't deal with this depression. I can't deal with this anxiety. I can't deal with these thoughts that I'm thinking the same way that I've been dealing with them because it ain't taking me nowhere.
So the coping
mechanism that I changed, that I went from coping with things from smoking to when I became old enough, it became drinking.
Mm.
So when I would be at work, I would get angry. I go to the bar and I would get slaughtered drunk. Now, you was there a couple of the nights, you know. Listen, you know.
I've had to take you home a couple of days.
Right, I never forget, you know, and I thank God for people around me, you know, who when I got like that, they never allowed me to become exposed to things that I was not supposed to be exposed to. You know,
right.
I thank God for people like your brother Tyrone, you know, the plenty
right.
of nights I'd be slaughtered. And don't know what my name is, but you know, God allowed people to be around me who were like angels, protecting me, and I thank God for that. You know, I thank God for people like Tyrone, and then you know, I thank God for people in my life like my other brother, John, you know, John Clark. But
yeah.
it was him. You know, I don't really tell a lot of people this, but it was him. He was the reason why I came out of that drinking stage. Because what happened was me and him got cool, you know, we got close, and what I did was I changed my coping mechanism once again. So whenever I wanted to go to the bar and I would want to drink, I call him up, yo, Doc, what you doing? You know, let's play the game. What you about to do? Well, I'm about to go so-and-so. All right, I'm going to roll out with you. So once again, I had to change my coping mechanism in order for me to get over and become delivered from the things
right.
that I used to do when I got triggered. So
accountability,
you know,
that's a big deal.
Right,
right.
So, right. you know, I thank God for those people in my life. And, you know, as time went on, you know, I was chilling, I was good, wasn't really doing too much of that. And then I met this woman. Lord, I met a Delilah. I made the mistake of laying my head in her lap and telling her where my strength
oh,
was.
Lord.
Lay my head
you know
on that she cut. Listen, so you know, I went through that stage, and it was just like at a young age, I was like maybe 24 when I met her, and that relationship did more damage. I got that short relationship. We were only together for maybe like 3 months, 4 months, and you know, eventually I proposed to her. We were only engaged for maybe a week, but that relationship damaged me in that short amount of time. More than any other relationship I've ever had in my life, and I say that because I tell a lot of young people I talk to, I say when you get into a relationship that you feel as though is life altering, if that relationship ever ends, do not allow bitterness, anger, and frustration to become what you now spew out. I got to a place of darkness, like everything out of my mouth was just venom, venom, venom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like nonstop venom. And it was like, I had to get to a place where I was like, yo, God, like, I don't want to be like this anymore. You know what I mean? I don't want to be in this place where I just feel like every woman that comes my way, I have to disrespect them. Every female that comes my way, I have to be a jerk. Every female that comes my way, I have to hurt them before they hurt me.
Okay.
That's a hard place to be at.
Right.
You know, and I thank God, you know, he took me out of that dark state. I was depressed for a long time. You know, I really don't talk about it. But, you know, I really don't tell people. But, you know, people who really, like, know me or been around me and, like, know my story, like, they saw it. But they were just waiting for me to say it. But I was depressed for a long time, you know, for
right.
a real long time. But, you know, but like I said, God, he has a way of taking us through things, to see things, to deliver us out of those things so that way we can be a better person.
Mm.
You know. So later on down the road, time went on. And it's funny because your brother put a picture up about it, a post that he did about maybe 9 years ago. 9 years ago I had gangrene from my scrotum sac all the way up around my back. He said the doctor told me that if I would have went to the hospital a day later, I went to the hospital like a Thursday. They told me if I would have waited until Friday, I'd have been dead before I even got there.
Wow.
So it's like I look back at everything that I've been through, and it's like, oh God, you've really been bringing me out of things that were detrimental to me, that could have took me out of here, that could have really done damage to not only my life but other people's lives for a reason, for a purpose. And it's not until
right.
now that I really understand what that purpose is, you know. We got license, Doc. You remember we was in a conference room. Bishop was like, "Who feels though they're not ready to be licensed?" I was the only one to raise my hand because I understood there was still more stuff that God had to pull out of me. But what I realized is, and my current pastor, you know, Pastor John Clark Sr., Verity Outreach Worship Center, he told me, I said, Doc, you know what, like, I'm nervous. I've never been really nervous about a decision like this ever in my life. And I never forget this. He told me, he said, the reason why you're nervous is because you understand that for this elevation that's coming, you have to change.
Right.
You can no longer be who you are. You can no longer be that person that everybody expects you to be. But now you have to be that person that God wants you to be.
Right.
You know, and once he told me that, it was like, okay, I'm ready.
The light switch.
Right.
The light switch.
Right. It was just like the whole room illuminated when he said that to me. And I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. I have to change. Like, and it is crazy because a lot of times we get comfortable in who we are. We get comfortable in the way that we are. We get comfortable in the things that we do. We get comfortable with being able to just say whatever we big and bad enough to say and don't have to answer to nobody. We get comfortable with that. But now I have to step out of my box. I have to step out of my comfortability because now not only are people looking at me differently because I'm a minister, but now God's holding me more accountable because of the mantle that I'm taking on.
So it's
just like, yo, like I don't take it lightly. You know, I take it serious because, you know, it's crazy. You know, but I just thank God for the things that he's brought me out of. I thank God for the things that he brought me from. You know, I thank God that I don't have the same mentality. I thank God that he has delivered my tongue. I keep saying he's working on it. No, he's delivered it because, you know, that it was a point in time where I would say, it, I don't care who you were.
Everything.
If I had something to say, I was going to say it. You was going to get it. It didn't really matter. Right. If your feelings was hurt, oh, well, I just had to get off my chest. But, I, you know, and a lot of that comes with being mature spiritually and mentally.
You have to be,
in order for God to really use you, you have to have a certain level of maturity. You can't continue to operate in the immature nature that you're used to in order for you to be useful. Immaturity is not useful. I'm gonna write that down.
Listen, there's a lot of things that you unpacked. One thing that people, I love that you said was, hey, I was saved at a young age. I was preaching at a young age. And what a lot of people don't understand is that when the church gives somebody young a platform to utilize their gift, they forget that they still have to mature. So they'll see their gift and they're catered to their gift, but they're never catered to the person. So the child is left to grow up and figure out life,
right,
and then try to figure out the part and then utilize their gift at the same time. It's like, and then when they fall, it's like, I'm gonna throw away the child. But
right,
you never matured. You never gave the child room to mature. All you did was try to give. You pimped the gift. And when you can no longer use it, you just pushed it to the side. And we got to be careful about that. And we got to be careful. It's a lot of young kids out there, the church, get up and sing. Get up and preach. You know how to hoop, get up and preach. But what about their personalities? What about their development? You never get that part. And like I said, I know you're jerking, man. And there was plenty of times can sing that. Call Brian. He can preach.
Mm-hmm.
And not one person said, how you doing? How you feel? What's going on with you? You know, and we need to change that. We really need to change that. I mean, go ahead. What you were saying?
I think that one thing that the church lacks, and it's not old church, new church, it's the church across the board ever since I can remember being in church. The church lacks accountability to the young people.
Man.
Because what we don't realize is that I grew up in a mega church. I grew up in New Covenant. New Covenant Church of Philadelphia on Germantown Avenue. That's where I grew up at. But one thing that I can say is growing up there, I was accountable to I had no accountability for anything that I did.
Wow.
Nobody. And I think that's a piece that the church is missing. We don't hold people accountable.
you know, and like you said, I grew up, I was preaching, I was singing, I was doing all that stuff. But it's, you know, you see the gift and you want me to use it. But one thing that I realize is a lot of times we see the gift, like you said, and the church recognizes the gift, but nobody grooms the gift and cultivates the gift and adds wisdom to the gift so that way us as young people know how to use the gift properly.
Right. Man, that's it. That's it right there. And
you know what I mean?
Please understand that, that you aren't a young person no more. You way past the young person stage.
Right.
But,
so
no,
it wasn't it wasn't until I became older where, you know, where people really started holding me accountable. So it was like I said, when I was a teenager, man, listen, I ran and did whatever I wanted to do up and through that church. Did whatever I wanted to do. And there was absolutely no accountability. But, you know, like, but I think that us as this generation that we are, you know, between the 30 and 40, whatever like that, we can still relate to what these young people are going through.
Right.
And
right.
I think that because we're able to relate, I think we should be able to hold them accountable at the age that they're at.
And do it with love. Like, we ain't gonna.
Correct.
Like, I always tell people, you know why the church mother, beats you down because, oh, your skirt too short, or look at you, you ain't, or the deacon, they tear you down, not because it's something they want to do, it's because it was done to them. And they think that that's supposed to keep you in check. No.
That's all they know.
That's all they know. And the first thing the Bible tells is that we have to handle things, but in love and in righteousness, they go hand in hand. You can't have righteousness without love. The love of God is His righteousness, right? So we can't have righteousness without love. So if we're going to tell people the truth, we have to do it in love, and we have to use tact. You know, a lot of times, you know, church folk, we just want to spit whatever out of our mouths, and that's not love. Yeah, Jesus was tactical, like, you know, Jesus had a strategy,
right?
You know, before he told the woman, the adulterous woman, hey, go and sin no more. But before he did that, he stood up for her. He protected her. He made sure she was safe.
That's right.
And we have to do that too. Hey, we have to be able to make sure people feel safe. How can we offer deliverance? How can we offer, you know, a change in anything if they don't feel safe within the church? There are people out there who feel safer in the world. There are people who feel safer with airing out their problems on social media before they air out their problems in the church. That's ridiculous. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, and it's because the church has, and I think it's because the church as a whole has become so. One thing that burns me up. Forget where they came from.
Oh man, come on.
One thing that burns me up is when you have older women who have children out of wedlock, but yet they look down their nose at the young girl who's 15, 16 years old, and she's now having a child out of wedlock. Don't you remember that 40-year-old son that you have? You didn't, you wasn't married when you had him. You had him out of wedlock. Now, granted, you got seven kids and five of them you was married with, but don't forget that you had one or two without you being married. And I think that we forget where we come from. Like, we forget that we were once sinners. So because we forget that, we lack the compassion to understand people's struggles and where they come from. Like, I think the whole lacks compassion. I mean, I think because I look at it like, you know, it's crazy because I'm doing this study on Matthew 23, and it's like we get so caught up with being religious. We get so caught up in denominational foolishness. I don't care about your creeds. I don't care about your chants. I don't care about none of that. We get so caught up in those doctrinal things that we've been taught that have nothing to do. Number one, we've been taught. Number two, they ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. But that's a whole other subject, a whole other time. We get so caught up in that we forget about caring about the soul. We get so caught up in church church etiquette that we forget about how to love the person that may not have the type of background or the type of things that we think that they're supposed to have, that we think that they're what they're supposed to look when they come to church. And I'm guilty of it too. Don't think that, you know, I'm guilty of it too. I've been there before. Somebody coming to church, why they got that on? That's what you gonna wear to church? You ain't had nothing else to put on but that. Oh, okay, well. That ain't really going to work. So I think, you know, maybe next time you come, try to put something else on. But I'm guilty of it. But God had to really show me, like, listen, God says, come as you are. So maybe, yes, he's talking about your heart. Yes, he's talking about your salvation, where you are in him and salvation, come as you are. But yet we have to still allow people to come as they are with the way that they dress, still allow them to come as they are with. They may not be delivered. Yeah, they may be a homosexual, but so what? Let's love them. And one thing God told me, he said, when you love people, love. When you sow love, you reap deliverance. I can love somebody to the point where they want to be delivered.
Sir. Come on.
When you sow love, it reaps deliverance.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So I can have the homosexual, I can have the molester, I can have the adulterer, I can have the liar, I can have the fornicator come into my church, not even into my church, come into my presence and just begin to know me and build a relationship with that person. And I can love them to a point where they want to become delivered because I'm loving them with the love of Christ. I'm not loving them with hope. I'm Baptist. This is how we got to do it. I'm holiness. This is how we got to do it. I'm Church of God in Christ. This is how we got to do it. I'm Seventh Day Adventist. This is how we got to do it. No, I'm not loving them. I'm Jehovah's Witness. You got to do it this way. No, I'm not loving them with my doctrinal denomination mess. I said it. Doctrinal denomination mess. That's what it is.
Come on.
I'm not going to love them with that, because when we begin to love with doctrinal denominational mess, that's when we become hypocrites.
So, I
can't love them with that, because that will make me hypocritical. So the thing I have to love them with is the love of Christ.
Right.
And once you show people the love of Christ, man, listen, they'll be like, yo, like, you're so different. You're different. I've been to so many places. I met so many people who judge me for this thing. I met so many people, been so many places who turned me away because of this thing. But you love me. And what you do is, while you're loving them, you're showing them in the word, hey, listen, you know, I know you struggle with this. I struggle with this. The Bible says I can't address the mote in your eye when I got a beam in my eye, or vice versa, however it goes. But you know what I'm trying to say. I can't do it. I have to admonish you in love. So I need to tell you, you know what, brother, I said, you know, you struggle with this, that, and third. Let me tell you my testimony, where God brought me from. I know if God could deliver me out of this, he could deliver you out of whatever you're going through. So let's walk together.
Right.
Let's be accountable. There go that word again, accountable. Let's be accountable to one another, so that way we can both become delivered in whatever areas that we need deliverance in. I'm not going to beat you over the head with my Bible, my large print, what's the large print Bible where you got King James on one side?
Sorry,
and the new Living Translation on the other side. I'm not gonna beat you down with my concordance. I'm not gonna beat you down with all the knowledge I have. No, beat you down, because one thing I realized, especially for somebody like me, when I was a kid, beatings never worked.
Wow. Yeah.
Beatings didn't work. So when you beat me, it just okay. I learned my lesson for a little while. But once the pain of the beating is over, I go right back to doing what I was doing.
Right.
So I may bash you and beat you in your head with my Bible and my eloquent exegesis of the text. But exegesis of a text is not going to bring you out of homosexuality. Love is.
Right. Wow. Well, come on, man. You preaching, sir. And I know you're holding back, but you preaching good. You walking through this thing.
Man, listen. It's... It's crazy, it's crazy because, like I said, I've been that person before. I've been that person
right.
for so many years. And God, one day, he had to show me, because, you know, I was always this big, I don't want to be around no, you know, I'm being transparent. I don't want to be around no homosexuals. Can't no homosexual come to my church. And God said, well, what makes them any different than anybody else?
Right.
Come on. And I had to learn, I said, you know what, God, you're right. What makes their sin different than my sin? The same way that somebody had to love me, and the same way that God had to make me realize that the sin that I was in, I needed deliverance from, he's the same God that can do that for them. But if I keep pushing them away, how will they ever get delivered? Maybe I'm the one that is supposed to be the vessel for their deliverance. Maybe I'm the one who's supposed to plant the seed. But how can I plant the seed if I won't let go of the seed that's in my hand? If my fist is closed and I won't let the seed go, how can I ever plant it? You can't plant a seed with a closed fist. It's the same way you can't receive with a closed hand, you can't plant with a closed hand.
Wow. All right, bro, I got one more question for you, and I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
Because I know, it's definitely, we are in a time where people need hope. You know, I said this in the beginning, we're in a time where people need hope. People are frustrated. People are hurting. They're trying to figure it out. They need direction. They need guidance. And as men and women of the gospel, we have to give them hope. I need you to really just give somebody hope right now, to pour hope into somebody right now. And you got 10 minutes. If you just, if there's a word in your heart for somebody who needs hope and somebody who's broken down and they need hope, what is that word for them?
One thing I will say is that at this time that and the things that are going on, the one thing that we have to realize is that our relationship with God is more necessary now than it has ever been. We are living in a time where you've always heard, oh, Christ is coming back, Christ is coming back. But if you actually read your word and you look at the things that are going on, the return of Christ is closer than we think. Mm-hmm. And the scripture that jumps out to me is Psalms 91, verse 1. And it says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The only way that you're going to be able to abide under the protection of God's shadow is if you go into the secret place of the Most High. That means you have to get into your prayer closet. That means you have to open up your word. That means that you have to seek the face of God. That's the only way that you're going to be able to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. It is imperative in this time that we're living in that we do not lose faith and we do not lose the trust that we have in God. I know it's easy to trust God when things is going good. It's easy to trust God when you got money in the bank. It's easy to trust God when you're working on your job and you're getting promotions. It's easy to trust God when all of the relationships that are around you are successful. But where's your faith and where's your trust when we in a time like this when you're not working? When you're not getting a paycheck? Where's your faith and your trust when you really don't know how to feed the kids if the city or the government doesn't go back to where it used to be at? Where's your faith? Where's your trust?
Mm-hmm.
The only way that you can be able to sustain faith and the only way that we are able to sustain trust is if we go back to verse 1. And it says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. We have to remain in our secret place. The secret place is the place where we get our strength. The secret place is the place where we get instruction from God. The time that we're living in, God is giving instruction, but are you in a place to receive it? God is giving wisdom, but are you in the place to receive it? And what is that place? Once again, verse 1a, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. So that means that you got to carve out time. In the midst of everything that's going on, in the midst of some of us are on Indeed, Career Builder, Monster, we on different websites, we on different job postings, trying to find supplemental employment. But one thing I know is that while we're looking for supplemental employment, don't forget that God can give you the supplements that you need that employment can't be. There's some things that you need that employment can't fix. There's some things that you need that a job can't handle. There's some things that you need that going to a regular 9-to-5 can't work out for you. There's some things that you need that working for somebody else can't do. But the only way that you're going to be able to get the things that you need is if you what? Dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And I'm reminded of one more scripture. It's Psalms 37. And we all quote that scripture. I'm going to get it real fast. So that way I quote it correctly. You know, we all quote this scripture, but it's what is it? It's Psalms 37:4. Psalms 37:4. We always quote this scripture. It says, part that everybody likes to say is that God will give you the desires of your heart. You know, we pray that God give you the desire. God give you the desires of your heart.
Read that first part, sir.
No, exactly. Nobody reads the beginning of verse 4. It says that delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So that means that the desires of your heart have contingencies to it. There's stipulations to what God is going to do. God says, if you delight yourself in me, I have no problem giving you the desires of your heart. No problem at all. But what I need from you is I need to for you to delight yourself in me. How do you delight yourself in the Lord? By being in the presence of the Most High God. That's how you delight yourself, by reading your word. So at this time, while we have, by a lot of people have a lot of time on their hands, our pastor preached a message on Sabbath, and he was talking about the issues that Sodom had and the reason why they were destroyed. And one of the issues that Sodom had was idleness of time. It's in the Bible. The Bible says that Sodom had idleness of time. So if you find yourself with your hands not doing anything, that means you have idleness of time. So I encourage everybody, while you have this idleness of time, while you're not working, while things are not really the way they want to be, while you really can't go out to the restaurant and spend your money, while you can't go shopping, while you can't do these other things, dwell in the secret place of the Most High with your idleness of time. Dwell in God's faith. Dwell in God's presence. Dwell in the secret place of the Most High. So that way, while you're dwelling in his secret place, he can give you the desires of your heart. He can supply all of your needs. And also, while you're waiting for him to supply your needs, give. Give. Simple principle.
Talk about giving.
Simple principle. One thing I realize is we always talk about, I had to read the scripture in the correct context, because we always read that, I pray that God, give and it shall be, no, not that one. What's the Paul? He was coming to the church of Philemon, and he was like, God, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But what I never realized was, until I really read the scripture in its context, was that the church of Philippi, they were giving to Paul's ministry. They were sowing into Paul. So that's the reason why he said, God is going to do these things. Because they didn't give it to him because he needed it. They sowed into Paul's ministry because they believed in Paul, and they believed in the God that, in the gospel that Paul was preaching. So if I urge you to do anything, while we're in a pandemic, it ain't popular to give. But what I can say is, while we've been in this pandemic, God has been blessing my hand to be able to be a sower and a giver to people that are around me. It's crazy.
Wow.
And while he's given me the finances and the ability to sow, I've been reaping everything that he's been wanting me to have. Why? Because I've been delighting myself in him. I've been hiding myself in the secret place, and I've been giving, and I've been sowing into people's lives and people's ministries. So during this pandemic, do something different. Do something different. Sow into somebody's life. It doesn't always have to be money. Maybe you don't have the money to be able to sow. But why don't you build up the faith to believe God and say, you know what, God, I may not have the money to sow, but I'm going to sow what I have. I can tell you, and do something different. That's the word. Do something different. Let's not do the same old norm, because the same old norm is what God is doing where we at right now. Let's try to do something different.
Wow. I'm telling y'all, it's a lot to unpack there. We are getting to the point where it is, we're at the time where it's called the call of salvation. And I hope you've listened to the man of God, because he said, get into the secret place. Then he said, delight yourself in the Lord. And then he said, give. I've never heard of a good marriage that didn't communicate, that didn't spend time together, and that didn't give to each other.
That's right.
How can we expect to have a good relationship with God if we're not spending quality time with him? If we're not communicating with him, and if we're not giving, 4 months go by and I don't give my wife a gift, we're going to have a problem. We're going to have a problem. And if you're not willing to give a gift to God, it's going to be a problem. And look, God is not saying, I want your money. No. Because he said, if you feed the poor, you've given it to me.
Mm-hmm.
If you clothe the naked, you've given it to me. If you're there for the widowed, if you're there for the lost, you've given it to me. God said, if you do for others, you did it to me. Thank you for what you did for others, because you did it, you gave to me. So I need you guys to understand that the man of God said it right. Let's do something different. We tried shouting. We've tried dancing. We tried praise and worship. We tried every church thing possible. Let's get into the grassroots and let's really have a relationship with God. Right now, if you're listening, you may be wondering, you know, how can I have a relationship with God? How can I build, you know, this relationship? How can I get this secret place that he's talking about? And I'm telling you, it's really not hard. It's very simple. The Bible tells us that everything starts with a confession. If you confess with your heart, if you confess with your mouth, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then you'll be saved. Listen, if you really want to have a relationship with God, the first thing you have to do is, one, recognize that you are a sinner. And ask God, you know, God, I sinned. I fall short of your glory. And then you ask for forgiveness. And you say, God, come into my life and you know, I repent of my sins. Cleanse me from my sins. The next thing you do, you ask him to come into your heart. And you accept him as your Lord and Savior. And you recognize that he not just died for your sins, but he rose for your sins. Believe that he's Lord over your life. If you do that, you're saved. Like, you didn't have to give a big offering. You didn't have to, you know, look to a mountain and turn your head to a certain direction. And you didn't have to put on a big robe or change your outfit. You just had to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And if you made that simple confession, the Bible says that the angels celebrate when one person gets saved. So guess what? When you get saved, heaven throws a party. They are partying because you decided to walk with Jesus. So right now, we're going to pray because we believe that somebody got saved by listening to the word in this evening. And the word is, do something different. Follow the blueprint. Form a relationship. Get into your secret place. And so, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you that you are blessing your people. Despite what the news say, despite what media says, your people are blessed, highly favored. They are in the protection of God, and you're keeping your people. So, God, I ask that you continue. God, I ask that you speak to those who have confessed that they believe in you. Make your voice louder. And for those who need hope, for those who need peace, for those who need a sense of direction right now, and they're confused and they're lost and they have anxiety, God, you be with them too. Because you are a deliverer, but you are also a healer. Touch their minds, touch their hearts. Keep them calm in a hostile situation. To know that their life is in your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother Rob, can you do the announcements, please, sir?
Yes, sir. No problem. Real quickly, I'm going to do the announcements, and we're going to turn the service back over into Reverend Burge's hands. Okay, before we do that, I just want to let everyone know that this is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network, and I hope that each and every one of you that has heard this program has taken something from it, and also I just hope that our Father God up in heaven replenish everything that was taken from Minister Depot and Reverend Art tonight. We hope that they're replenished 1,000-fold because they have put out forth through the airwaves a ministry of open heart, and we just thank them twice in your life. You can contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. We can see your comments, questions, concerns. You simply say hello. send a prayer request, or just let us know you turn a new leaf over in life. Because, yes, this is a new leaf turned over in life. And we just thank you so much. We thank you for your appreciation. We thank you for your support. We thank you for your listenership, whether you're online or via phone. We just thank you so much. And with that being said, I just want to let you know that we're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We can do likewise. And we gladly spread the news with each and every one of the new souls that have turned their life over to Christ. And we just like to thank you so much. And, you know, also we invite you to like us on Facebook, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements with your friends and family members. Because, you know, right now these are tough times, and these are times that we're, you know, this is where we're in need of sharing. We just thank you so much. And with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 8 p.m. hour. Please note the time difference at the 8 p.m. hour. For guess who? You know it. It's going to be Minister Bernard Merrill. Okay? Minister Bernard Merrill at the 8 p.m. hour. Join Minister Bernard Merrill with By Faith We Good. Okay? By Faith We Good. All right? And please note that if you want to hear any of our past previous broadcasts, you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. We can simply just type in the host name or the show name. And you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. We greatly appreciate those that share with their friends and family members, and we're just so grateful of our listenership and our audience. We just thank you so much. And before I turn the show over into Minister, Reverend Art Tan, I just want to go over to our guest, and you know, Reverend Minister Brian, we thank you so much for your openness and honestness, just sharing with us tonight, because there's so much in one's testimony where we just greatly appreciate, and we just hear a different point of view, and we thank you so much. And just, you know, real quickly, you know, Reverend Art, I know I don't have a nomination for the Golden Gloves or any other awards, or the Gold, you know, or the Image Awards. But if I did have a nomination, I would give it to you. And with that being said, I'm just going to turn the program over back into your hands.
All right, praise God. Thank you, sir. You funny man. I definitely want to thank Mr. Despot for definitely being a blessing on this evening. You know, if you guys have any questions for him, listen, we still got some time. You can call in 323-870-4174. Press #1. That is 323-870-4174. Press #1 if you have any questions for Minister Brian. And also, I definitely want to say thank you again, sir. You know, you really, you know, laid foundation on this show tonight. You gave people hope, but you also gave the word. You ain't just inspired them without informing them. And I thank you for that. Bro, we're about to wrap up. Is there anything that you want to say before we get off?
No, I just want to say, you know, just want to say thank you for having me. You know, you've been asking for a long time to come too, but, you know, stuff schedule-wise just seemed like it didn't line up. But, you know, I'm glad I was on tonight. You know, I appreciate you having me. Second thing, on Saturdays, if y'all ain't doing nothing, like Minister Arthur said, please come. Verity Outreach Worship Center. We be at 200 West Fisher Street. If you can't make it out on Saturday, we're also on Facebook Live each and every week. You can come, you can look at us. Facebook Live, you usually start around 12:30, 1 o'clock on Facebook. If you can't make it to the building, our pastor is John Clark Sr., and our First Lady Dorsine Clark, and our assistant pastors, Chester and Keisha Davis. You know, if you, like I say, if you want to come through, you won't regret. You won't regret it. You'll be fed spiritually and naturally.
All right. Once again, our Facebook page is Verity Outreach. is Verity Outreach, and you can always check us out on Facebook and on Instagram. It's Verity Outreach. Worship Center, Verity Outreach Services Center. Sorry, you can see us there. You can contact us for prayer. Our pantry is open. We are still up for service. We are still doing the work of the Lord. The city is shut down, but our church building isn't. The city is shut down, but we've been laboring. And I'm going to say this one more time. We are giving out lunches and breakfast for everybody Monday and Wednesday on 200 West Fisher Street. And we're partnered with Jesus in the Building, Pastor Michael Brown, and Verity Outreach Worship Center. We are giving out lunches every Monday and Tuesday, starting at 10 o'clock from 10 o'clock
Monday
to 2 p.m. Monday and Wednesday. Please come out. Also, like I said, Verity brings out our food truck on Sundays, and we post our location on our social media pages. So look out for that on Sundays. And like I said, we're doing the work. We didn't stop just because everything else stopped. And we're not going to stop because it's too much work to do. And people need help and people need hope. So that's what we're going to do. Thank you, man of God. It took 2 years to get you on. But it was worth it.
Yes, sir.
I definitely, I want to thank everybody who was listening. For those who tuned in for the first time, thank you. God bless you. I appreciate you. Let's do this again. Let's do this again. This can't be the last time. Be the last time. All right, let's end in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in your people. Are lifting up heads, how you are opening eyes, how you're opening ears. People didn't want to come to church. They didn't want to know you, but something switched, something happened, and they realized that they needed you even more. And now it's up to us to show them how to get to you. So, God, let your people be the salt of the earth. Let your people be a lighthouse, because that's what you called us to be. This time. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night. Thank you for listening to the year.
Jesus bless.
He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose. Set me free. I will not lose.
Never want to see me down. I will not lose.